Yo, welcome back to the 1 Samuel Audio Devotional Podcast. My name is Steve Durr. Today we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 16. Just a reminder, David has entered into the battle, taken down Goliath, and has won the day. And Israel has had an incredible victory over the Philistines. So now let's find out what happens after the battle. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals, and this was their song. Another one bites the dust, and another one's gone. No, that was not it. It wasn't another one bites the dust. This was the song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. This made Saul very angry. "What's this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king." So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall, but David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Finally, Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men, and David faithfully led his troops into battle. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. When Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. Have you ever found yourself secretly resenting someone else's success? I haven't. Psych! Oh, man. Been there. I've been there. There was a time when I was in high school, one of the things that I remember most clearly, there was a young man who kind of was living life as he saw fit. And then there was a boy who was a really good boy, who did all the right stuff, who helped like crazy in the youth ministry, did all the stuff behind the scenes up front. That was me. And then there was this kid who was kind of a little rebel and doing his own thing. Well, wonderfully, that young man came to know Jesus and he started to hang around the youth ministry. And at first I was really excited. He's here. This is great. He's coming to know God. He's connecting with God. He's inviting friends. And then over time, people began to talk about him more and more. He was kind of a popular kid, and it was cool having him come to faith. But I started to feel like, wait a minute, why is all the attention going to him? Why does everyone keep talking about him? I'm doing all this stuff behind the scenes. I'm active. I'm doing these things. Why him? Why not me? I somehow thought along the way it was about me. Lo and behold, I was shocked to find out it wasn't, which then made me wonder, why do I do what I do, right? It was really a gift in the end. But what started off as a positive relationship, soon over time in my own heart, became a difficult, hard relationship. I was full of resentment. So I wonder, can you relate at all to that? Maybe it's a coworker that got a promotion that you wanted or you felt you deserved. Might be a friend who gets praised for something you've been working hard on. Maybe something just seems to fall in someone else's lap And it just drives you crazy because you keep trying and it doesn't happen. You want to be happy for friends. You want to be happy for coworkers. You want to be happy for that kid who came to know Jesus, right? But deep down, something stings. I think that's what's going on here with Saul. At first, he's all for David's victories. Because a victory for David is a victory for Saul. But when the crowd's tune changes and the lyrics get more focused on David than Saul, when it becomes Saul has killed his thousands, yea, guess what? David has killed 10,000s. He's 10 times more effective at the work of a king than the king. That right there is a threat to Saul. And just like that, Saul shifts from celebrating David to resenting him. Instead of seeing David as a blessing, he starts seeing him as a threat. This chapter gives really two different ways to respond to other people's success. You've got Jonathan, the prince, the guy who is supposed to become king next. But because of Saul's behavior, because of his disobedience, because of what God has chosen, his family line is going to end and they're going to no longer be king. David is the one who's going to become king next. So Jonathan, if anyone had a reason to be upset with David, if anyone had a reason to be threatened by David, it was Jonathan, who was supposed to be the next guy up on the totem pole. He's the one who's done these incredible battles. He's been taking action. He seems faithful. It's amazing. And yet he's not going to get to become king. So what does Jonathan do? Jonathan chooses love. The Hebrew word is chesed, which means steadfast, covenantal, loyal, faithful, self-sacrificial, connected, attaching love. It's the kind that sticks, even if it's going to cost you something. And it cost Jonathan. Jonathan should have been his rival. But instead of clinging to his own position, Jonathan recognizes God's hand on David's life, and he chooses to love him selflessly. He gives David his robe, his sword, his bow. These are all symbols of his royal status. He's saying, I am with you. I want what's best for you, even if it costs me something, even if it means me stepping aside. Oh, to have people in our lives like that. Saul, on the other hand, how does he handle the rise of David's popularity? Saul chooses enemy mode. Dr. Jim Wilder describes enemy mode as a mental state where we stop seeing people as allies and we start seeing them as threats. He's reacting in anger and even trying to kill David. He throws the spear, tries to pin him against the wall. One of the things that grows chesed, this loving connection, loyalty, attachment, is joy, a connection of joy. Jim Wilder says joy is relational. It is what we feel when we are with someone who's happy and grateful to be with us. That develops that sense of chesed. And Jonathan and David had that, celebrating one another. Saul, on the other hand, was full of fear. Jonathan's chesed, his love for David, creates joy. His love for David brings them closer. Saul's fear destroys relationships, distances his own relationship with his son. Saul's obsession with control isolates him from the very people who could have helped him in his role as king, made him even more successful. We all have these moments where we can choose. Is it going to be chesed? Is it going to be joy and rejoicing with those who rejoice? Is it going to be fear? Is it going to be chesed, this loyal love that brings about great joy and grows in the midst of joy and rejoicing for one another? When someone succeeds, we celebrate with them. Or are we finding ourselves in comparison mode, enemy mode, full of fear? Are we going to trust, or are we going to try to get our handle on everything and control everything? Comparison turns friends into rivals. Fear shuts down love. So just a few things to think about today. What if today we chose to celebrate others instead of comparing ourselves to them? I just had this recently when I found myself in the comparison game and I decided, you know what, instead I'm going to celebrate with them. And so I just prayed, God, thank you for that for them. Pray that you would bless them. Pray that it would just be a great joy and that your will would be accomplished in their life. Someone else's success isn't my failure, isn't your failure. So what would it look like to celebrate others instead of comparing ourselves to them maybe today? The other thing is checking our heart for enemy mode. Do you see someone today maybe as a threat instead of a person God loves? And then trust God's story for you. We don't have to cling to control. If God has something for you, no one can take it. God is in control. God's got a grand story and we're all a part of it. The challenge is when we start to compare and say, I would like to be this kind of character in the story. What would it look like to lean into what God has for you uniquely as a part of his incredible story? Turn your eyes to him instead of outward to others. This is what I find myself challenged by today, to no longer see people who have blessing as somehow a curse for me. May we be a people who are generous, joyful, and offer chesed, this love, this connection that can rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Jonathan's story shows us that real love isn't about winning. It's about faithfulness, self-giving love. The way we love people, even when it costs us, reflects whether or not we really believe and trust in God's plan. And if we're looking like Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for this story. It is relatable for me and maybe for others. Would you help us to say no to comparison, no to coveting, no to bitterness, no to enemy mode, and yes to chesed, to loving kindness, to self-sacrifice. Bring about more and more joy among us as a people, that we might connect deeply with you and each other, and we would truly be a community that celebrates one another and celebrate what you're doing in and through the lives of one another, and that we would be a community that comes alongside people and mourns with those who mourn and sticks with each other even when we are struggling. God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the story. Speak to us, lead us, guide us, challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.